In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today I'd like to talk about Psalm 62 in the Septuagint, and most Protestant Bibles would be Psalm 63. This psalm is the third of the six Matins psalms, the six psalms at the beginning of Matins. And so it's a psalm that's heard every day. And of course, the book of Psalms is the largest book of the Bible, but it's the one book that's read in its entirety every week in the Orthodox Church, and during Lent it's read twice a week. And so it's a very important book for us to spend a lot of time in and to learn to pray. In the ancient Egyptian desert, the normal rule of prayer of a monk was to pray the entire Psalter once a day. And that's the reason why in the ecumenical canons, you have a canon that says that to be a bishop, you had to know the Psalter by heart. That's no longer a canon that's enforced because there are so few people who meet that qualification, but that used to be very common. And so we should learn to spend time in the Psalter, and of course, spend time to learn what the words actually mean so that we understand what it is that we're praying. Psalm 62's inscription says, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judea. This is either when he was fleeing from Saul, or possibly when he fled from Absalom, more likely the former rather than the latter. And it begins, O God, my God, unto thee I rise early at dawn. That's one of the reasons why this psalm is included among the six Matin psalms, because Matins means morning. That's what that service is. It's a morning service, even though typically in the Russian practice when we do a vigil, we do it in the evening before. But that's because the vigil was an all-night vigil and Matins was in the wee hours of the morning in the early church. But it's a morning prayer. But when it says, I rise unto thee early at dawn, the question we should ask is, well, do we rise early at dawn? Because we should, if we're able to, if we don't have some physical problem that prevents us from being able to do that. When we get up early, before the day begins, we have a wonderful opportunity to spend time in prayer, undisturbed, and also to read the scriptures. And so develop the discipline of getting up a little bit earlier, sooner than you need to be up to get ready for work or what have you, and spend some time in prayer and reading the scriptures. My soul hath thirsted for thee. How often hath my flesh longed after thee in a land barren and untrodden and unwatered. Keep in mind the context here. We have David in the wilderness fleeing from his enemies, and he's enduring great hardships out in this very dry area where water is very precious. And, you know, here we have bottled water that we carry with us everywhere we go. And if we don't have a bottle of water, you know, at hand, if we're not constantly drinking water, we feel like we're dying of thirst. Well, imagine being in a situation where you can only drink maybe a few swallows of water a day, and you're out in the heat, in the sun, in a very dry area, and you've got walking to do, it would be very difficult and you'd be very thirsty. Well, rather than talking about my body thirst for water, what does David say? He says, my soul hath thirsted for thee. How often hath my flesh longed after thee in a land barren and untrodden and unwatered? So he draws upon the sense of thirst that he endured, but he relates it to his thirst for God, because that's the more important thirst that we should have. We all have it, whether we're aware of it or not is another question. How we choose to try to slake that thirst is another question. But we have this need for God, and if we're satisfying that in the right way, we should be seeking after him diligently. Also, the fathers applied this to fasting. It's one of the reasons why we have so many fast days during the church year is fasting. That hunger that we experience when we're fasting is supposed to remind us of our hunger for God and to help us to focus on the reason why we're fasting, which is to draw closer to God. Christ said when he was tempted by the devil, and the devil asked him to make bread out of stones, this was after he had fasted for 40 days in the wilderness, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We fast because when we fast, it reminds us that we're fasting for a reason, and it helps us to draw closer and to focus on God. So in the sanctuary have I appeared before thee to see thy power and thy glory. St. Nikolai Velimirovich comments on this, and he says, You are the only event of my life, O lamp of my soul. When a child scurries to the arms of his mother, events do not exist for him. When a bride races to meet her bridegroom, she does not see the flowers in the meadow, nor does she hear the rumbling of the storm, nor does she smell the fragrance of the cypresses or sense the mood of the wild animals. She sees only the face of her bridegroom. She hears only the music from his lips. She smells only his soul. When love goes to meet love, no events befall it. Time and space make way for love. For thy mercy is better than lives. Our need for God's mercy is greater than our need to live, much less to eat or to drink. And that's what we need to be aware of. That's what so many things that we do as Orthodox Christians and so many of the things that we read try to get us to come to this awareness, this conscious awareness of our need for God and the focus on Him rather than on the things of this life that are temporal. My lips shall praise Thee, so shall I bless Thee in my life, and in Thy name will I lift up my hands. To a real Christian, there's no greater joy than to sing the praises of God. That's one of the reasons why we should love the services of the church, because that's our opportunity to do just that. But of course, we can do it throughout the week. We can do it at home. And when it talks about, in the name of the Lord, I will lift up my hands, lifting up your hands is an attitude of prayer. In our current practice in the Russian church, the laity do not normally raise their hands in prayer during the services, although there's no reason why you cannot do this at home. But this attitude of prayer is a very ancient way of praying, and you see icons of the saints holding up their hands in this way. And when I happened to go visit the old Wright Parish in Erie, Pennsylvania, I was fascinated to see some of their practices, and one of the practices that they had was that as the deacon would go around and sense the people, when they were sensed individually, they would lift up their hands just like this, just the ancient attitude of prayer, and then they would make the sign of the cross and they would bow. But that's what it's referring to lift up our hands in prayer. That brings to mind another story that I've mentioned before of St. Arsenius the Great, who we read his way of praying on a Sunday or a feast was on the evening before, as the sun would set, he would turn his back to the setting sun and he would raise his hands and he would begin to pray, and he would only stop when the rising sun began to shine on his face the next morning. As with marrow and fatness, let my soul be filled with lips. With lips rejoicing shall my mouth praise Thee. He's talking about a satisfaction that one gets when one eats a hearty meal, but he's talking about spiritual satisfaction. As with marrow and fatness, let my soul be filled. And with lips rejoicing shall my mouth praise Thee. So he's again focused not on the bodily want that he's experiencing in the wilderness, but on his desire and need for God, who can only satisfy that deeper need that he has. If I remember thee on my bed at the dawn, I meditated on thee. Basically, we should remember God throughout the day. We should remember God when we go to sleep, and we should remember him when we rise up. That should be the last thing that we do in the evening, is to pray, and the first thing that we do at the beginning of the day when we rise up. For thou art become my helper, in the shelter of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul hath cleaved after thee, thy right hand hath been quick to help me. The way this was translated apparently into Latin, I was reading St. Augustine's commentaries, and they translated it in English as, my soul hath been glued on thee. So that's what it's referring to, my soul hath cleaved after thee. Our trust has to be placed completely in God, and we have to cling to him. Reading St. Nikolai Vadimitovich's comments, I was reminded of something that had happened this week. I was walking into my office at work, I think it was in the morning, and when I'm trying to be at a particular place at a particular time, I usually have a pretty brisk pace when I'm walking. And of course, this little kid who was maybe 2 years old or maybe even less than that was quite a bit smaller than me. And here he sees this big hairy guy walking at a very fast clip. And before he noticed me, he was kind of lingering behind his mother, maybe, 10 yards, and kind of playing and not paying attention. But as soon as he saw me coming, he looked with a scared look, and then all of a sudden he started scurrying over to his mother. But as soon as he got to his mother and he grabbed a hold of her pants, he was at ease. He knew that as long as he was close to his mother, he had nothing to fear. And as long as we draw close to God, as long as we are resting in Him and place our hope in Him, we have nothing to fear. No matter what may come our way, no matter what difficulties we may face in this life, I mean, think of the difficulties that David was enduring. Here he had someone who was trying to kill him, he was enduring physical hardship, and yet his faith and his hope was on God. And we're told that David was a man after God's own heart. And of course, he had his shortcomings, but that is the part of David's personality that is the scriptures hold up to us to emulate. But as for these in vain, if they sought after my soul, they shall go down and go into the nethermost parts of the earth. They shall be surrendered under the edge of the sword. Portions for foxes shall they be, but the king shall be glad in God. Everyone shall be praised that sweareth by him, for the mouth of them is stopped that speak unjustly. Of course, what David had to say here applied to his own situation, because his enemies were slain by the sword, and he did try, and the people who spoke against him, their mouths were stopped. But the fathers also applied this to Christ, this being a prophecy of because David is an icon or an image or a type of Christ that we find in Scripture, and so there are many parallels we find in the Psalter, especially with the life of Christ. And basically, though the Jews that rejected him, of course not all the Jews did, but those Jews that did reject him sought to destroy him, and they spake against him, he died on the cross, but he rose again on the third day, and ultimately his prophecy about the destruction of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple came to pass, and so his enemies were literally left, you know, as food for the foxes, as it's referred to here. So the point of this psalm is one, we should rise early. We should learn to get up early and pray. That's an important thing that we should develop as a Christian discipline. But we should seek God with prayer and fasting, and let the longing that we have for Him be the first and foremost thing. That thirst that we feel and that hunger that we feel when we're unable to eat or when we're denying ourselves through fasting, that's the kind of thirst and hunger that we should have for God. And we have to put our trust entirely in Him and not allow any of life's difficulties to take our focus off Him.